Granny, you mustn't be so stuffy. Olive is staying with us a few days. She's here to help you.
Gigi favoured her grandmother in looks as well as stature. It was a bit uncanny looking at Gigi and her grandmother side by side on the settee. They created a strange sort of mirror image across the decades. If I had any question about what Gigi would look like in 50 years, I only needed to look to her grandmother. I would bet that in her youth the Dowager Duchess looked remarkably like Gigi did now. The Dowager concentrated on selecting a sponge finger from the tea tray.
"Whatever can you mean, Gina?"
"Olive will help you with the fact that you think someone is trying to harm you."
The Dowager's only reaction was that her nostrils flared slightly. Her tone, which had been dismissive when Gigi presented me, now held a note of coldness.
"That is not something to be discussed."
She turned toward me.
"I hope you have a delightful stay here at Alton House, but I assure you I do not need any assistance."
The words, "especially from the likes of you," hung unspoken in the air. I'd been put in my place.
"Granny, really? Even though you act like that, it's not true. I know it isn't."
Gigi passed a teacup to me as she said to her grandmother,
"You're worried. I can tell you are, and I asked Olive here especially for you. You can trust her. She's very discreet."
I sipped my tea and kept my expression neutral, ignoring the sting of the Dowager's attitude. I was too much of a lady to retaliate. It would be bad form to respond in kind. Gigi had asked me here to help, and I'd try to do so for her sake. "I'm sure you can dispatch any problem that arises, Your Grace," I said. "But if you'd like to discuss any worries or concerns, I'm happy to listen." Gigi handed me a plate with a slice of seed cake.
"Olive helped Lady Agnes with that ghastly rumour about the mummy curse."
I could tell that the name of the aristocratic lady carried weight with the Dowager, because she eyed me again, but she only said,
"How kind of you to help her. However, there is nothing amiss at Alton House."
She sent a severe look at Gigi, but it didn't seem to bother Gigi at all. She transferred a slice of seed cake to her plate. With an inflection that indicated the discussion was closed and we were moving to a new topic, the Dowager said,
"Now, Gina, I expect you to be in the drawing room before the gong sounds tonight. You're invited as well, Miss Belgrave,"
she added in an off-handed manner. "Thank you. Of course, I'd be delighted." The door burst open, and Felix strode across the room. The cape flared out as he moved, making his weedy figure appear more substantial. His dark hair was parted in the middle of his head and wasn't slicked back with hair cream. It fell on each side of his brow, bobbing and bouncing against his temples. He had a pale complexion, except for two bright red spots that stood out on his cheeks. He surged up to our grouping, and I thought his knobby leg would bump into the tea tray and knock it over, but he stopped just short of it. He shook a piece of paper at the Dowager.
"Is it true? Did you pay off Randolph to write that horrible review of my last play?"
"Felix, we have a guest," the Dowager said mildly.
Gigi put down her plate and performed the introduction. Felix and I said, "How do you do?" Then he immediately turned back to the Dowager.
"Is it true?"
She let out a tiny sigh that indicated she found the topic tedious.
"Since you insist on pressing the matter, yes. I dropped a line to Mr. Randolph and told him you have more important activities to pursue. I let him know it would be to everyone's benefit if you let go of this frivolous pursuit."